Riva versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it please the court, Richard Kulix appearing on behalf of the petitioner Alexander Agraya. This case comes before the court on appeal from a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals. And this case is a little different than the other ones you've heard today, because in this case, we're unable to ascertain whether the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge denied the claim for lack of credibility, defective corroboration, or a failure to carry the burden of proof, or a combination of those factors. The immigration judge's decision is unclear, and the BIA's decision compounds the confusion.
Well, just to be clear, in this case, the BIA says rather specifically that it says we adopt and affirm the decision of the immigration judge with the following additions. So it seems to me that what this court is thus doing is reviewing them both together. To the extent the additions of the BIA change or qualify what the judge said, then it's the BIA that we're looking at. But basically, it's the two of them.
Now that's the assumption I went under also.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that's what they're telling us they want us to do.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Lack of corroboration is not grounds to impugn credibility.
Well, that's an overly simplistic way to put it. There's a lot of law about corroboration. If the judge simply doesn't believe somebody to begin with, the person might be able to overcome that with corroborating evidence. If the judge thinks that any normal person would have corroborating evidence, the judge might think a factor tending to diminish one's credibility would be the lack of it.
This court has ruled recently, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Sumahoro v. Gonzalez, mm-hmm. that in order to get to the corroboration question, you first have to make the explicit credibility finding. That's not reserved only to the judge. The BIA is free to make that finding also. And in this case, they apparently declined, but they also decided to take a shot at the credibility in regard to this misstatement about the Communist versus Democratic Party mentioned by the respondent below. The case is vulnerable to the criticism made by Judge Posner in Yao v. Gonzalez, which you cited before, where in that point five that he made in that case, the reluctance to make clear determinations as to credibility. This is where the confusion is here. In reading the judge's opinion, it sounds as though he almost believes the testimony of the respondent. Now, if he does, if we go along the normal rules that if there is no specific credibility finding, then there is at least a presumption created that what the respondent says is true, then what he said in his testimony was that over the course of a few years, he was detained a number of times, anything from a couple of weeks to months, and that on one occasion, he had a severe injury to his leg, which resulted in the surgery and a plate in his leg. The document that he provided to corroborate his injury, the same issue came up recently in a case in the Sixth Circuit, Mecha v. Gonzalez, where the immigration judge, he didn't really say he was disingenuous, but the Judge Nelson in that case indicated that when Latin medical terms are used in a document from a doctor, that it might behoove the judge to look at Webster's to see if there were an English equivalent to those words, and that things such as, in this case, contusio traumatica, et fractura malleoli, osteosyntesa, might be things that would be very easily ascertained by an educated person. I think Judge Nelson's comment off the bench in that case was that where they put judge in front of your name, you're supposed to be an educated person.
Well, let me go back. I mean, in terms of this appeal, or this petition for review, I should call it, the government has argued that you've waived anyway, or that you've forfeited any argument about credibility determinations because you didn't raise that properly before the BIA, and you didn't file a reply brief. So maybe credibility is off the table. You have spent a lot of time in your brief talking about due process and whether the IJ should have recognized this expert witness and whether this little medical record should have been given more weight. But the medical record standing alone basically says his knee got banged up and he broke his ankle. And then it gets treated. So that is a long way from actually proving a claim, showing that one is entitled to asylum.
On appeal, Mr. Hagen, who filed the appeal, did raise the due process argument.
Due process, but not credibility. I think credibility is not, although I don't see anything that indicates that there is a complaint to the BIA about the credibility issue.
Yeah, we would aver that.
And of course, the government, as you well know, the government points this out in its brief
yes,
here.
But that the credibility determination, the mandatory credibility finding, is a part of the due process argument.
Well,
it's inherent within it, and the fact is that the BIA.
How would the BIA know that if you didn't tell them that part of what you mean by due process isn't, let's say, an adequate opportunity to be heard or an impartial decision maker or all the proper evidence before the board or whatever, you know, that here you mean credibility determination. The board needs to be told what you want them to do before you can criticize them for not doing it.
Well, we would also indicate that they did not do it either, and they're free to do it.
But they don't have to reach out and do something that the petitioner hasn't asked them to do.
Well, the Board of Immigration Appeals is very well aware that there must be credibility determination made in a case. This case came before them. If the judge didn't do it, they should do it.
Sua sponte?
Yeah.
Sure. They're allowed to. I mean, there's nothing that prevents them from doing it.
I recognize they're allowed to, but must they do it sua sponte if the petitioner doesn't challenge that as part of the appeal?
Well, it appears that way, Your Honor. It appears that the language of the opinions coming out of the circuits, particularly this one, are that a credibility finding must be made. Otherwise, the opinion makes no sense judicially, that it's too difficult to review. If this man is credible, then he has proven persecution. If he's deemed not credible, then he has a problem proving it with the other elements of proof that he brought. But if we assume credibility, then we assume that what he says happened, and that the things that happened are severe enough in this circuit to constitute persecution. And that's the problem with not having one. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for my argument. For now, I'd like to rest unless the court has further questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Members of the court, I'm Paul Fiorino for the United States. Judge Wood, I think you're absolutely correct in terms of the waiver issue with respect to the credibility finding. And as Judge Sykes pointed out, the board's under no obligation to sua sponte reach out and address an issue that wasn't presented before it. The immigration judge and the BIA found in this case that the petitioner hadn't met his burden of proof. In other words, the IJ was not convinced that what petitioner said about his membership in the Democratic Party and the injuries to his leg was true.
Well, I think it's the causal link. I mean, we have this. Apparently something happened. I'm informed that malleoli is really sort of a very common ankle break, but whatever, the lower part of his body. But why it happened and whether it's linked to anything the law cares about, I guess, is what the IJ wasn't so sure of.
Exactly. And there's nothing in this record to compel that conclusion. The petitioner basically has couched this case in terms of due process and has made a number of allegations that the immigration judge failed to credit certain evidence, has failed to give certain weight to certain evidence. And really these issues that he's raised have no merit. With respect to the expert witness, it's clear that the expert witness was the immigration judge heard his testimony but didn't certify him as an expert. And if you look at what he said, you can see that this was a very reasonable decision on the part of the immigration judge.
Well, in some ways, I wouldn't go quite that far. It seems to me the government is assisted substantially by the fact that the immigration judge did allow this man to testify and so pretty much heard everything he had to say, whether he had the label expert plastered across his forehead or didn't. Looking at his CV, he really does actually seem to have quite a bit of expertise about Albania and all of its institutions. So I'm not sure under something analogous to Rule 702, maybe he was an expert and should have come in that way.
Well, it's really...
But does it matter?
Whether you label him as an expert or not, he heard his testimony.
Right. That's,
and he compared it, yeah.
That, I think, is maybe the more important point because... the IJs are certainly more than happy to draw on their own expertise, such as it is. But, you know, this man has really spent his whole life studying these kinds of things. Anyway.
With respect to the medical documentation, as you point out, Judge Wood, that it only establishes that he was injured. It doesn't establish the causation or any other elements of his claim. There's a couple other issues that, although it's our position that credibility is not really before the court, I must comment on the petitioner raised in their argument. The notion that in every instance, not only must the immigration judge make an explicit credibility finding, but that if he doesn't, the board has to. We were aware of no support in the law with that. It's certainly not in the statute, and we would encourage the court not to accept that as the status of the law in every case. I think that basically addresses the one comment that I had. Subject to your questions, that will conclude.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Cooks, how much time? You have 1 minute, Mr. Cooks.
I'm just going to cite in regard to the last comment by counsel for the government. Judge Posner said in Diallo at 381 F. 3rd, 698, or citing Diallo, passing expressions of disbelief do not adequately substitute for an adverse credibility finding. That was the yawning void he cited in the Niem case, which is also this court's. This idea of the expert, this business about the impugning the testimony of the expert through this killing fields comment, I think was also part of the inappropriate way to gauge the evidence that was placed in front of the judge. He brought that in without any basis in the record. He made that criticism without any basis in the record, and certainly the Mr. Chamai's comments were packed with emotion, and they were to the point of trying to express his opinion about how Albania was, but I think he clearly showed that people in the position of the petitioner in this case were vulnerable to persecution in Albania, and that he was one of those people that was subjected to persecution at that time.
thank you. On that basis, we'd like to submit the case. We request that this court remand the case for the appropriate findings by the board.
Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and we move.